If you have your Bibles, can you open with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 4? And I'm revisiting this assignment that the Lord gave me back at the end of 2022 to focus this year on this word that God dropped in my heart in November of unparalleled praise. And what this word was as it unfolded in my heart and as I began to teach and preach on it, was that I believe that God wants us to become a people who praise Him like we've never praised Him before, no matter what happens. And I obviously know, not having any insight into what was going to happen, not knowing that even this week what would happen, as I've just announced, but knowing that God gave me a word, I believe it's very timely for us in the room today. Title of my message is A Place Called Praise, and I want to read about the best place that you and I will one day be able to praise Jesus, and that's around the throne of God. Revelation chapter 4, if you don't have your Bibles, you can just listen. John the Revelator says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. At the first voice, which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, the fourth living creature with an eagle, like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are You, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created.'" I have a single focus this morning, a single aim, and that is to remind you of the greatest thing you could ever give your life to, and that is praising King Jesus. The single greatest thing that you could do in your life, that I could do in mine, is to give our lives to praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is a foreign concept, a strange concept to most in our world. To come into a place, even like you're doing this morning, you came and you're a part of this gathering of brothers and sisters in Christ. You decided to come here and spend time, invest your time praising the Lord. In the eyes of our world, that's odd. Did you know that you're a little bit odd? The book of 1 Peter calls you peculiar. You're different. You're different than the rest of the world, because you come into a place like this and you want to praise God. You actually would come into this place, lift your voice, sing songs. Some of you even got the Pentecostal sway going on. You've got the hips. My hips move like a metronome when I'm praying. It's just like I have to start swaying when I'm praying. Whenever you encounter the presence of God, We have a similar experience to what we see happening in Revelation chapter 4. Now, they see God in all of his glory. We don't see this right now. We see now, the Bible says, dimly as through a glass. But there's a day coming where we'll see God in all of his glory. And the only response to seeing God in all of his glory is you will fall on your face and worship him. It's the only appropriate response to the goodness and the majesty and the beauty of God. I actually believe it's the most natural thing for a child of God. The most natural thing for a child of God to do is to praise. Psalm 33 verse 1 says, it is fitting for the upright to praise him. You know, they say, if the shoe fits. Praise fits the child of God. It suits your life. If you love Jesus, then it's fitting for you to praise him. Psalm 22 verse 22 says, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. In the midst of the congregation, where you are right now, you will praise Jesus. Hello? Is anybody in the room? In the midst of the congregation, when other people are around and might be looking at you, it does not say, I will stand silently and let other people around me praise him. It says, I will praise him in the midst of the congregation. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips all the time. Here's what I'm going to do. If you're a child of God, here's your assignment. Praise the Lord. All the time. Psalm 145 makes it clear, verse 2 and 3, every day I will bless and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Every day, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to praise Jesus. It's my calling. It's my mission. It's the reason why I'm here. And here's the end goal. Here's where we're going. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Here's the goal. Here's the goal. Not to have a cute church service, but to be so full of the love of God that we overflow and cause all creation to praise the Lord. I remember when I was a preteen. I was probably 12 years old. I've lived in Niagara Falls my whole life. I remember my parents driving down the 420, getting off at the Dorchester exit right here by the church, getting off, and we would drive right by this building, Niagara Worship Center. I had no idea it was a church. 12-year-olds, not thinking about, what's that building, right? I just saw the building at the corner, and I saw the map room. Can you see the map room from when you're driving down the street? And I just saw this big room with a big table and all these chairs around it and a giant map. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know what those people are trying to do, but I think they're trying to take over the world. Pinky in the brain, right? What are we going to do today, Pinky? Take over the world. Everybody under 25 doesn't understand what I just said, but the rest of you, you're welcome. Little did I know I'd end up actually attending this church, become a part of this church family, end up pastoring this church, and it turns out all these years later, I was right! It's exactly what we're trying to do, is take over the world for Jesus. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And here's this scene in Revelation 4. It should be this image that stays with you everywhere that you go, that one day you're going to get to heaven and you're going to see the one who sits on the throne, and for all of eternity, every time you see him, you will say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy are you to receive all glory and honor and power. Because when you see God in all his glory, you won't be able to think about anything else. You will be unable to think about anything other than worshiping him. Now, that's a strange thought to us here on this earth. But the Lord is worthy of our praise. Psalm 29, verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. He is due our worship. It belongs to him. He gives us breath in our lungs so that we can pay him back with praise. That's what we're called to do. More than anyone else on earth is due to receive any honor, any thanksgiving, or any praise. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who'd hung on a cross out of love for you, he is worthy of our praise. The most natural thing for a child of God to do is praise the Lord. That's what I said. Okay, if that's true, why doesn't it always feel natural to praise? If it's natural for a child of God to praise the Lord. Why sometimes is it so hard? Anybody in the room, a human being like me? We're in the same place here? Okay. If it's natural for a child of God to praise him, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If he's due our worthy in praise, if we know that he hung on a cross and died for us and redeemed us and saved us, then why is it that sometimes we have a hard time praising him? Well, I'd like to make at least one observation here. Have you ever heard of the devil? If the most natural thing for a child of God to do is praise him, then what's the primary attack that the devil is going to bring against us? He's going to try and stop us from praising him. He's going to try and interfere and get in the way. He's going to make our praise seem unnatural, foreign, and strange. He's going to make us more concerned about what other people are thinking about us than how much we want to praise God. He wants us to get uncomfortable praising God. He wants us to get bored. How many songs are we going to sing? Someone was visiting years ago. It was their first Sunday here. And they were standing at the back, and they called over one of our staff. And we were on the second song. What song were we on? Second song. Two songs. It's been like 7.5 minutes. The guy calls over one of our staff and says, excuse me, how many of these are we going to be doing? Exactly. A lot more. You might want to look at the church down the street. No, we didn't say that. If that's you, by the way, this morning, we're so glad that you're here. We're just thrilled. But here's something you need to know about Niagara Worship Center. We love praising Jesus. So we're going to sing more than a couple songs because we get excited about praising Jesus. The enemy's going to want to distract us and get us to think, well, I can only praise in a certain way. I can only praise through these certain songs. I can only praise when there's two fast songs, then two slow songs, then a prayer, then a mid-tempo song. That's my jam. That's where I really feel the presence of God. The enemy's going to want to get you stuck in a rut and make you think that you can only praise God when you feel his presence. Now, let me say, it is a beautiful and wonderful thing when you feel the presence of God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great when you get goosebumps? Isn't it great when you feel his warmth around you? But can I tell you, don't wait until you feel the presence of God to start praising him. Because whether you know it or not, he's here. He's here. Even when you don't feel him, he's here. And he's worthy of our praise. The enemy's going to want you to question, what's the point? He's going to want to fill you with doubts and distractions. I'm tired, I'm hurting, I'm broken, my life's a mess. Why could I sing this song? How is it that I could go through these motions? Here's why we need to be a people who praise him. Because when we praise him, we stop thinking about ourselves. When you praise him, you stop worrying about the things that fill your mind. Let me demonstrate this through a praise song. Here's what it says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely in the light of his glory and grace. Why praise him? Because when you praise him, you stop worrying about your worries. All the little things that you've been praying about, and listen, God cares about the little things matter to God, but all of those little things now mean nothing in light of the presence and the precious blood of Jesus. Let me take you back and remind you about the Christmas story. If you remember, there were shepherds watching their flocks by night. Has anybody heard the Christmas story before? An angel of the Lord shows up to these shepherds, and one angel, how many angels showed up? I'm giving you the answer, class. How many angels showed up? One. One angel showed up. One angel. Only one angel was required to deliver the message. He said, for unto you is, fear not, for I bring unto you good news of great joy that shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You have heard the Christmas story. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. One angel required to deliver the message. After the message is delivered, Luke tells us that a multitude of heavenly hosts showed up. Here's what they said. Glory to God in the highest, Angels in heaven looking down on earth saw one angel. Only one angel was necessary to deliver the message. And that angel delivered the message, and the angels are like, get me out of here. I got to go down there and praise the Lord. Get me down there. I want a multitude. They saw one excuse to praise the Lord, and they said, we're going to go and we're going to praise the Lord. I would love to see this church family become so passionate about praising Jesus that we just look for, give me any excuse to praise Jesus and I'll praise him. Give me any. It's sunny today. Praise the Lord. I love the sun. Praise you. It's raining today. Praise the Lord. Our grass needs rain. Praise Jesus. Come on. We ought to be looking for excuses to say glory to God in the highest. Jesus hasn't performed a single miracle. He hadn't turned water into wine. He hadn't opened any blind eyes. He hasn't preached a single compelling message. The only thing that Jesus has done at this point is say, goo goo gaga. And the heavenly hosts show up and they say, glory to God in the highest. May we become a people who are filled with such passionate praise to our King and our Savior. This is how we should live our lives. We don't need to wait until a prayer gets answered to praise. We don't need to wait until we get a miracle or the sick get healed or demons get cast out to praise. We don't need to wait until the house gets sold or the family member gets their life turned around to praise. We're just a people who say, every day I'm going to praise the Lord. Every day I'm going to be a person of praise. I believe that God is searching for those, Jesus said it, who worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Well, here's one thing that I believe that means. I believe that Jesus is looking for people who will worship him without external motivation. I don't need the piano playing just right to praise the Lord. I didn't even need the worship team to be playing the same song at the same time. Come on. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't wait for external motivation. Oh, they just prayed a really good prayer and they just sang a really good song. Those are external motivations. They help us. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. It's great. But we ought not wait for that to praise our King. Praise is not just a spiritual discipline. It is a spiritual discipline, but it's not just a spiritual discipline. Praise is a place where you and I live. Let me show you something from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 26, 18 and 19. As the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession, and so that he will set you in praise. You and I, as children of God, adopted into his family, we are set in praise. We live in a place called praise. This means that praise for a child of God is no longer something we do. It's a place where we live. I live in a place called praise. Let me unpack this for you. How many of you live somewhere? Somewhere. Anywhere. Okay, let's try this again. I'll do a follow-through question. How many of you know where you live? Okay, good. Most of you will make it home safely. The rest of you are going to be wandering around. You'll end up in Thorold by 3 o'clock this afternoon. You need to know where you live. You need to know where you're going. You need to know where you're going to return. We've tried to be diligent in teaching our children so that they know where they live. They know we live in Niagara Falls. They know we live on a certain street. They know our house number, right? So that, why? If they ever got lost, they could articulate where they live, where their home is. I believe that many Christians struggle to praise the Lord because they don't know this promise from God. I will set you in praise. I will actually make you a person who lives in praise and functions out of a place of praise. Whenever I'm driving somewhere, if I haven't been there before or I'm not familiar with where I'm going, I plug in the address. If I'm going to your home, I've never been there before, I plug in your address, but I also have to plug in my address as the starting point, right? Like if I were to get directions to your house, how many of you know that the turns would be different if I left from my house versus Tokyo? Slightly different means of transportation to get to your house. You need to know the starting point. A child of God starts out of a place of praise. Colossians 3:3, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died. The old you is dead and gone. Somebody say hallelujah. When you give your life to Jesus, you sign up for spiritual death and resurrection. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You are now placed in Christ. You are placed in God. And Exodus 10:21 says, He, the Lord, is your praise. So if you live in God, you live in a place called praise. But how many of you might know some believers, some brothers or sisters in the Lord that don't really seem like they live in a place called praise? Maybe you've met some believers that seem like they live on Anxiety Avenue, Discouragement Drive, Sad Street, lots of people on Sad Street, Bad News Boulevard, Crimea River Crescent, Cynical Circle, or Calamity Court. Have you met any of these people in your life? Do you know some? Some of them are your neighbors. I know, it's okay. Now, how about if we would just get honest for a moment and look in the mirror at ourselves? And sometimes maybe we find ourselves functioning as if we live on Sad Street and Bad News Boulevard and Calamity Court rather than functioning out of a place of praise. We need to acknowledge that we need to know where we function out of. If I'm functioning out of a place of praise, I carry praise with me. I can still experience worry, doubt, anxiety, fear. I can still experience those things, but I don't live there. I don't flow out of there. You know when you go to the doctors and they check your reflexes and they hit your knee? Check your reflexes. Here's my heart. Here's my heart for us as a church family, that our spiritual reaction to life would be praise. Every time we get a tap at the knee, good news, bad news, good days, bad days, you know what we do? Praise the Lord. As for me and my house, we will praise the Lord. It's our automatic reaction. Paul says this in Romans 5, we rejoice in our suffering. How many of you would say that that's your least favorite part of the day? Suffering. Right? Pretty low on the list of things to get excited about. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Now, we can actually rejoice in the midst of our suffering. Now, we don't rejoice for our suffering. Never thank God for suffering. But you can thank God in your suffering. You can choose to praise Him in the midst of your suffering, because it's precisely in that moment that you need to be reminded that you need God, that He is good, and that He will take care of you. It's precisely in the moment of suffering where you need to be reminded where you live. You live in a place called praise. So therefore, I need to function out of a place called praise. Now, you can still have, as I said, the worry, the doubt, the anxiety, the frustration, but the place that you function out of, your home address, is praise. This week, we were up north at a cottage from Saturday to Saturday. Just got home yesterday, late afternoon. And so we're unpacking the truck, and I've got my list of things that I need to do and things that I got to get done for church this morning and some errands to run. And so we're unpacking all the stuff, all the bags, all the 1,700 toys that the kids brought. And so, love my children. And I hear my wife shout from the basement, "We've got water!" Did you get rain here in Niagara when I went away? Did that happen? I didn't just hear that it happened. I stepped in it in my basement. Groundwater all in our unfinished basement downstairs. There's just a bit of finished flooring, but puddles everywhere. So we're getting the shop back, and we're vacuuming it up, and we emptied four times, and we turn around, and it's like we didn't do anything. The water, it just kept coming. So we finally figured out that the water is still coming into the house. So we went and we found where water is coming in, not like flooding in, but consistently pouring down, obviously some kind of a crack in along the exterior from the inside of our house, groundwater coming in. And so remember I had my things that I needed to do yesterday, my to-do list? Well, instead, I ran to Canadian Tire and bought a dehumidifier, and I ran to Lowe's, which is now Rona. Who knew that happened? I leave Niagara for a week, and now Lowe's is Rona. I go to Rona to buy some kind of a concrete mixture that you can apply when it's wet, because the water's pouring down. You can't just put cement onto something wet, so we had to get a special mixture. Anyways, you can tell I don't know what I'm talking about. I bought something at the store and gave it to my wife and said, here you go. And she mixed, I kid you not, she's the fixer, not me. So she's mixing concrete and slapping it on there, and I'm vacuuming up the water, and we've got towels that are soaking wet in the dryer. We put them back soaking wet. Our kids are like, feed us, we're hungry, pay attention to us. And we're like, no, we have a flood in our basement. I could go on. Let me just summarize. It was an unexpected night. So as I was running around buying dehumidifiers and the mixture, I was frustrated. I had things I needed to do. I wasn't ready to preach this morning. And so I'm frustrated. And I remember the aisle that I was in at Rona, right before the drywall. And it's like the Lord just tapped me on the shoulder. I said, Tim, you're frustrated, aren't you? Yeah. I'm not ready to preach tomorrow. He said, what are you preaching on? I said, Revelation chapter 4. And all of a sudden, it's like the lights came on. And I kid you not, right by the drywall at 8 o'clock last night, with these lips, I started to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy are you to receive all glory and all honor and all power forever and ever. Amen. Come on, church. We got to learn to praise him when we're frustrated and upset. Now, what you're walking through might be so much more serious than wet floors that will eventually dry. I understand. But listen, our response needs to be the same. We need to be a people who choose to look to the heavens and praise him, no matter what.